Suspend your disbelief, your rational, analytic mind, just for a minute, just for the length of this podcast. What if all I am about to tell you is the truth? What if the information you will be provided is from a divine source? Just for this time, I am your Axis Mundi. Consider this podcast your channel, your second opinion. When I do a reading, something larger than myself is working through me. So ask what you wish. This is your channel, your doorway to the divine. Welcome to John's Tarot. Welcome. My name is John. Thank you. I want to thank everybody who's viewed my podcast. Thank you from Frankfurt, Main House.
Achtung, ich rufe noch einmal Stalingrad.
Hier ist Stalingrad. Hier ist die Front von der Volga.
Thank you from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Open the pod bay doors, please, Al.
Thank you from Inglewood, California.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back.
Thank you from, where else we got? Inglewood, from Quebec, Canada.
My CPU is a neural net processor. A learning computer.
From Laguna Niguel, California.
That ditch is Boss Keene's ditch. And I told him that dirt in it's your dirt. What's your dirt doing in his ditch?
From Ontario, Florida.
My CPU is a neural net processor. A learning computer.
My apologies, I did that one twice. Why don't we give him another one?
How about I give you the finger, and you give me my phone call.
How about from Ontario, Canada?
Bring the ship up to broadcast depth. We're going in, taking Neo to see her.
See who? The Oracle.
And what else? What else we got here? Ontario, Canada, and that's from Norway.
What do you know about these people?
Just observation and deduction. See a propensity for obesity, poverty, a yen for fairy tales. Folks putting what few bucks they do have in a little wicker baskets being passed around. I think it's safe to say that nobody here is going to be splitting the atom, Marty.
Yeah, it's safe to say I'm not going to be splitting the atom today either. So I'm doing this podcast, you know, to get away a little bit from politics.
I did everything right, and they indicted me.
Yeah. Not you again. I really don't want to hear that from you again. So I do this to get away from that a little bit, and to just give you some time away from that, and give you something else to think about. If you are here in my studio today, if you could see my studio today, you see I am at the edge of the galaxy. On one of the outer spiral arms. And from here, it's quiet. And it gives somebody the opportunity to think. And I've been thinking today about the Kingman UFO retrieval incident. And that's what today's program is going to be about. So where do I begin? I want to begin by first saying, if you're listening, I am live on YouTube and on Twitch. And if you want to participate in my live program, you can do it on YouTube. I have a little chat window open. And if you want to do it on Twitch, I'm here on Twitch. I have the chat window. And I do this every Wednesday at 1 o'clock Pacific time. So if you want to join in, you're free to join in. Actually, I would encourage you to join in. It's more interesting if it's interactive. And then I'll do my little story on the Kingman UFO retrieval, and then I'll open it up for some free tarot readings. So let me move over to my first window. The story starts in Kingman, Arizona. In the year 1953, where I'll just explain it briefly. There's like three parts of the story, And I'll explain it briefly. So Kingman, Arizona, 1953, there is a reported UFO crash and retrieval somewhere in May, 1953, that never was reported at the time. The story itself didn't come out until 20 years later, till 1973, by somebody who had witnessed the retrieval. And he gave the information to a fellow named Richard Fowler. Now, the person who revealed the information was an eyewitness. There we go. There's the crash retrieval. And the eyewitness name was Arthur G. Stansel, Jr. Here's his obituary. This was a real person. And he worked at the test site where they did nuclear testing, nuclear bomb testing. And he was measuring at the test site how fast impacts would happen with a nuclear blast. So his specialty was figuring out impacts. And one day in May 1953, they told him, we have a special assignment for you, and you're to report at such and such a time, 4 in the afternoon, to this place, and bring your toothbrush. So he did so. And it was a bus. It was a blacked out bus. And they were greeted by a military colonel who told them that they are not to repeat anything they say, and they're not to talk among themselves, and the only questions that will be answered are within your specific area of expertise. And they confiscated all their items, their wristwatches, their personal items, put them in a bag, and they drove them out to the site. The site was the UFO retrieval site of the Kingman UFO crash. And his job while he was there was to they saw a large disc that was buried into the ground, obviously as a result of a crash. And his job was to measure the impact. How fast was it going when it hit the ground? What kind of speed did it have? And that was the only thing he was authorized to do. And he came to this guy, Raymond Fowler, to explain his story. And it's like 20 years after the incident. And apparently he just wanted to get off his chest before he passed away. One of the things he saw when he was there was there was a tent next to the UFO site. And in the tent, he saw a small creature. A small brown creature, said about child size, on a table. And he believes it was an alien. And that is, in essence, this a story from Mr. Stansel. Now, it goes, there's another story. And I'm going to switch over to another scene. And the story is, this one is has to do with there being three UFOs. And I'm going to let George Knapp do this story, because he's much better at it than I am. And I have a little video of George Knapp doing the Kingfield UFO retrieval story. Let me switch over.
Spring 1953, the Atomic Energy Commission unleashed a series of massive explosions at the Nevada test site, codenamed Upshot Knothole. In the same time period, across the state line in Arizona, witnesses reported seeing a fleet of eight flying saucer-type craft engaged in what looked like a dogfight. This is an artist's rendition of the event. According to historian and former museum curator Harry Drew, three of those unknown craft ended up on the ground near Kingman in May 1953.
So I didn't go into this with a preconceived notion that I would find the Kingman UFO anything. I never expected a second one. And I thought I was all done. And then the information about the third one on the 24th came to me.
Drew spent a decade poring through old records and newspaper accounts, tracking down original witnesses, and eventually stitched together a tale far more complicated than the granddaddy of UFO crash stories, Roswell. In his public lectures, Drew explains how the Kingman story first surfaced in 1973, years before Roswell became well known. A newspaper ran a story about a retired Nevada test site technician named Arthur Stansel, who said in May May 1953, he and other team members were transported from Indian Springs, now Creech Air Base, to a remote desert location in Arizona to recover a secret experimental craft that had crashed. Stansel was a real person who believed the downed craft was far beyond any known technology. In his book, 7 Days in May, Harry Drew explains what became of the three craft that fell from the sky. One, he says, was obliterated when it smashed into the mountainside that towers above Kingman, setting off a fire. Another, resembling this artist's drawing, was found intact in a desert area miles outside of Kingman. And a third came down hard, clipped a rocky butte, then crashed adjacent to a small reservoir. Military security camped out around the site until the recovery team arrived and took the unknown craft back to a base in Nevada.
According to Harry Drew and his investigations, this is the spot, the exact location where in May 1953 an unknown craft crashed to the earth after clipping that butte.
Drew says he found proof that military teams camped around the exact crash site, including military-issued food canisters that dated back to 1953.
Water has come down through this area. It has exposed cans. They go down into the ground a ways, probably not much more than half a foot.
UFO writers have speculated that if the Kingman stories were true, then maybe the nuclear tests in Nevada caused the unknown craft to be knocked from the sky near Kingman. Drew says the real cause was a trio of immensely powerful experimental radar sites set up in and around the town.
The retrieval team...
I don't know if the whole story played. I hope the whole story played. Did the whole story play? I hope so. It usually runs about 3 minutes or so, the video. The last part of the story has to do with, I got something from Richard Dolan. Richard Dolan found a report from a fellow named Chris Mellon. Chris Mellon is a former Department of Defense director. And he shared a private message on his Twitter and his Substack account confirming the 1953 Kingman incident. And I have that report up here, and we'll take a look at it. So this is a message between Chris Mellon and some undisclosed individual who wanted to remain anonymous. And the undisclosed, it says, "Blank and I are making huge progress getting into the crash retrieval program. He plans to meet with you at some time." The person says, "The blank would be slack-jawed if they found out what we know, what we now know." And then he goes on to say, "Right now we haven't gone that far back. We're dealing with a recovered UAP that landed in Kingman, Arizona in the 50s. So this individual, along with Chris Mellon, are certifying that there was a crash in 1953 in Kingman, Arizona, and it was a crash retrieval. Let me continue. "In the 1950s, we were vacuuming info as blank gets a read-in, so somebody else is involved in this. We now know the management structure and security control systems and ownership of the crash retrieval. We also know who recovers landed UFOs and crashed UAPs, under what authorities. We also know what is still a highly classified memo by Secretary of the Air Force in 1950s is still in effect to maintain a cover-up on UFOs. We also know that SES-2, who is the Air Force gatekeeper." So the person who did the initial, put this under secrecy in the 1950s was that Secretary of the U.S. Air Force, and his name was Harold E. Talbot. And he is the one that initiated the secrecy on this issue. And it still is in effect today. So that is my little presentation on the Kingman UFO crash. Was there really a crash in Kingman, Arizona in 1953? The information seems to lead to that assumption. I don't know if that whole video played. I did the best I could with the video, but you got the general idea. when a former director of defense is leaking information to confirm that there is a crash retrieval program, even if that specific Kingman incident isn't true, he's certainly revealing information saying that there is definitely a crash retrieval program in place. Why would they need a crash retrieval program if they were retrieving something? What are they retrieving? I believe it's UFO material, and that they've had this information for a long time. I've been watching this program, this movie called The Phenomena. And again, there just seems to be a long history of UFO retrieval, witnessing, and crashes that can't be denied. Now, even though the government continues to deny it. So it's up to you what you want to believe. But when I bring this subject up with some people, they go, well, where is your proof? Eyewitness proof, if you go to court and they say, well, I've seen so-and-so do this specific thing. Eyewitness proof is usually enough. And there's a lot of eyewitness proof. And I just went through some eyewitness reports for the Cayman crash. So that might just have to be enough proof. It is believed the government is holding crashed UFOs and they are just not releasing it. So that is going to be my little presentation on UFOs. Let me go over to my tarot cam. There we go. That's the one I'm looking for. So we'll do a little tarot reading for today. What kind of questions am I going to ask? I'm really trying to stay away from politics. That's got enough sucking the air out of the room type of stuff going on. Why don't we ask about UFOs? Why don't we ask, why is the government preventing us from, why is the government withholding information on UFOs? I think that's a good question I could ask the tarot. Let me shuffle the card. Let me shuffle the deck. My ability to read tarot is a gift. And it is an expression of divine love. And I'm here to share it with you in that same spirit. So I'm going to, what I do is I do a little tarot reading. I'll draw three cards. And then I'll throw some Nordic runes on it. And we'll see what the runes have to say. Oh, I had a viewer here on YouTube. He popped in and popped off. That's too bad. Remember, I'm here once a week for free tarot readings or for participation. I think next week's program will be on fate, destiny, and karma, and my experience with that. So let me get in touch just for a second. All right. So why is the government withholding information about UFOs from the general population? Why is the government withholding information about UFOs from the general population? Our first card is the Two of Wands. That's really appropriate for the question. Our second card, the Knight of Swords. Another appropriate card. Third card is the Hierophant. So let me throw in some runes and get a little explanation on this. I'll just do one quick reading today and move on. I don't think my whole video played. If you're out there watching, did the whole video play? Odin, Freya, please help guide this reading. Why is the government withholding information on UFOs? For the Two of Wands, the Knight of Swords, and the Hierophant. And my first rune is Jira. He's planting a seed. My second rune is Rakana. And my third rune is for the Hierophant. Radio. There it is. Quick reading here. So the Two of Wands has to do with gathering information, patiently gathering, patiently waiting, gathering information that many of us have already made a decision on this. And we're just gathering information before we take any type of action. And the rune Jira has to do with planting a seed, starting a new adventure, starting a new process. So many of us have been, we've been quietly gathering information, and the seed has been planted about what we're going to do, what we're going to believe as we move forward from here. My second card is the Knight of Swords, which has to do more with embarking on a new adventure. So the seed has been planted. We're embarking on a new adventure. It also has to do with people of, well, let's say dimmer persuasion are sometimes not able to perceive their limitations. And that has to do with people, not everybody's going to believe what you believe. Not everybody's going to understand what you understand. And sometimes no matter how much persuasion you try to do, they're never going to come over to your side because they're unable to perceive their own shortcomings. And then the rune Prakana has to do with a family. Remember that even if somebody doesn't understand what you understand and know what you know, they're still part of the human family. And it also has to do with the beginnings. So, you know, many times people are following you and looking at you and thinking about how you are presenting yourself. What are the things you believe? And that is planting the seed for a new beginning. And our third card is the Hierophant. The Hierophant stands between two pillars. I'm going to have to take a look at this more closely. The pillars of the Temple of Solomon in the Tree of Life, they are mercy and severity, or severity and mercy, wisdom and feeling, and it has to do with learning. Learning a new job, learning a new profession, learning a new concept, and that when learning, you need to adapt yourself to the information that's being provided. If you want to learn how to be a lawyer, hang out with lawyers, do what lawyers do. If you want to be an airline pilot, hang out with airline pilots and do what airline pilots do. But it has to do with formal learning. And there's the government is apparently not ready to release information because they are still in the learning phase and trying to understand what is really going on. And although they have information, they have crashed UFO craft, they're still learning. They don't completely understand how these things function, exactly where these beings come from, how they seem to transcend that much time and distance. They're learning. They have an idea, but they don't completely understand. Although they are on the right track, radio. And a radio also has to do with travel. So they don't understand how these beings are traveling from such distances. And they're still in the process of learning. And they don't want to reveal that they don't know everything. You know, I could relate to that. I like to act like I know everything, like I know exactly everything that's going on. But the government really doesn't understand 100% of what's going on with these people, what's going on with these visitors, how they do what they do, how their technology works. They're still in the process of learning, although they're on the right track. Radio. And that's why they're not revealing what's going on with the UFOs that they have retrieved and that they have in their possession. And that is my little reading for today. I don't think I need to do any much more. That's sufficient. I run 24, 25 minutes. That's sufficient. I hope it played out well. I don't know if my little video played out all the way. I think I stopped it a little early. But if you want to see it, I'll go ahead and I'll I'll post it on another a video YouTube or something. If you would like to see some of my past YouTube, my past shows, they're all up on YouTube, John's Tarot. You can go up there and look around. I've also been doing some stuff on, I have a new car. I have a Prius Prime. I've been doing videos on the Prius Prime. That's getting a number of hits, more hits than my John's Tarot. I'll tell you though, but my doing the John's Tarot is my first love. And I do the car videos just to support the viewership and to get more viewers for John's Tarot. So until next week. It's my pleasure. It was a pleasure to be here. It was a pleasure to do the research. You know, sometimes I think, well, what am I doing here? I'm really learning how to craft videos, I think, is what the whole purpose of what I've been doing with is I've been doing this podcast now for 3 years, and I've been working on the video production end of it for the last couple of years, and I have a nice little video production, I do believe. I don't know how it's going to. I need to work on the podcast portion of it so it comes out better on the podcast. So until next week, be careful, be cool, be kind, and remember, have courage, find faith. I always get those two mixed up, but try to do both. And I'll see you all again next week at 1 o'clock. Both on Twitch and on YouTube. So until then, be careful, be cool, be kind, and I'll see you all. All right, bye-bye.